You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
All right, this is the MGB review of UEW second event, which was Boiling Point on Saturday, February 8th at 6 p.m. And this was actually a newer venue. This was the RCSSC Annex in Richmond. Now, we talked about this ahead of time. This was actually nearly a month ago that we're recording after the event. And we talked about, in fact, we might not even do a review. We'll see how it goes. We did release the interview that we did with Wes Danger Rogers, and we didn't take any notes for this at all. So I said, well, at some point, perhaps we'll just do a 30-minute review. And I think that's pretty much what we're going to do, Mason. So you said, I'm not sure how much I'm going to remember. I'm not sure how much I'm going to remember either. I am literally looking at my Facebook page right now, and I'm looking at the pictures that I took. And I think that's where we're going to start it off from. I think that's how we're actually going to work this. One thing I've forgotten about this is we actually made a good call on the way down there. We actually stopped at Bojangles this time, because I think you guys chose Taco Bell. Actually, no, Jackson chose Taco Bell last time.
And you chose Taco Bell.
It was closer to the exit, so I was like, sure, we'll go there. I was like, whatever. But this time we saw Bojangles, and we went there. Now, as we found this place, I didn't know where it was. I actually assumed it was the old place. I didn't know it was a new venue. I just typed it into the GPS, and I was like, this is not the same route at all. And as we pulled into where it said on the GPS, there was nothing there at all. I was like, oh my gosh, are we even close? Because I've had a few where I've been looking for different places, and the actual place has been like 5 miles away. Anyway, we carried on down the road, and we kind of got to the end of the road. We went over some train tracks, and that's actually where the location was. Zero parking, as far as I could tell. Everyone had already parked, so we just had to go back where we came from and park on the side. As we walked in, first thing we did after we bought our tickets was we could see the Women's Championship belt, because that was the new belt that they had for this one. And they actually had the UEW fan club as well. So I was like, ooh, kind of cool. I like that. So we signed up for that. And actually, I saw a post from them today. It was like, congrats, happy birthday to whoever it is. You get an autograph from your favorite UEW wrestler. I was like, hey, Jackson just had his birthday. This was February 8th. His was 23rd. I guess with it setting up, they just didn't get around to doing the February birthdays. So I'm told that I've got an email and Jackson's going to be able to pick. Because, oh, that was the thing when we signed up as well. I was like, hey, look, you get an autograph for your birthday. And you're like, my birthday was like 3 weeks ago. So you're like, oh, well, you got to wait 49 weeks for the next one. Anything you want to talk about on the way there or before the matches even start?
Bojangles was good.
Bojangles was good, yeah.
I remember on the TV I saw there was a high school that got fully flooded.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
The only thing I really remember from Bojangles is I had the regular sweet tea. And then I was trying to be sensible, and I was like, oh, just give me the unsweet. The unsweet was not good at all. So I said, after I drank half, I was like, can you fill it? Can you give me half and half? And that was much better. I remember that. As we walked in, we also saw the champion there as well. Damian Wayne
in
was
Bojangles?
There. No, at the UEW wrestling, that would have been quite a coincidence. So I asked him, I was like, hey, champ, can we get a quick picture with you? So he was good enough that we managed to get a picture. And yeah, it was kind of busy. We didn't have front row seats or anything, and we just kind of sat at the back. I think we sat on like benches. There wasn't many seats because people had like sweaters laid out already. And it's not like we were late or anything. Because we got there early because we knew we were going to interview Wes. So we wanted to check, like, do you want to do it first, whatever. So he told us his match was first, and he said any time after that. And, yeah, there wasn't really many seats left. We found out afterwards they sold out the event. They actually had 100 people who paid just for standing room only. So that's amazing that they got. Because there was a lot of people behind us and to the sides. And guess we kind of got lucky that we actually had them anywhere to sit at all in the end. So, anyway. Right at the start, before match one, they actually brought out the women. So they brought out the women, they brought out Erica Lee, Jordan Blade, Ariella Nix, kind of like a, hey, look, this is who was going to be fighting later. All right, do you want to talk about anything that happened in this segment?
I think they attacked Erica Lee.
Ariella certainly attacked Erica Lee. And
and Erica Lee was already probably injured. So they probably injured.
Now, we didn't quite realize. We just thought it was a beatdown. We thought, oh, this kind of sets it up for the triple threat match later. But there's obviously Ariella's going to play the heel. And I don't think I realized at the time that perhaps Erica was injured and couldn't wrestle. But when it got to their match, that, yeah, it was just a a singles match. And I was like, whoa, what the heck happened? So yeah, it was kind of confusing. Now, didn't she have sort of like a protective bandage or something? Or something on her arm? She had something, so it was kind of makes sense that she was injured. But that's like a heel move anyway. Oh, you got an injury? You attack the injury? So I don't think I realized the significance of that to begin with as they started anyway. All right, match one proper though was, and we already knew this ahead of time because Wes had told us.
I have something before. So I remember that Jackson, he didn't even sit down for a lot of the show, he just started running around behind him.
There was like a basketball area, and there was places where he could run, and he was so red in the face. He was just running around from side to side, and because that was one of the things we liked at the other arena. There was a place for kids to kind of go and, I guess, just run around, rather than having to sit if they couldn't manage to do that.
Hey guys, Wes Danger Rogers here, the Safety First Stuntman, and we're listening to the MGB Podcast, the safest and coolest podcast online.
All right, match one was Wes Danger Rogers and Livid the Clown, Simply Safish, versus the Capital Vices, Money Green, and Sin. All right, what do you remember about this one then, Mason?
Nothing.
Do you remember the result?
No.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Wait, it was Capital Vices versus who again?
The person you interviewed, Simply Safish.
I forgot.
Perhaps this might not get released after all.
I didn't hear you.
No? You don't remember the result?
Wait, I remember Wes won. Wes and...
Hey, good job. Simply Safish retained. Yes, they did retain. Once again, they were... Capital Vices were definitely heels for this one. There was some back and forth, but overall it was... I said at one point, I was like, Simply Safish should definitely retain it. You could just tell. And yeah, they did. They've actually set up the next match already for the April event, and they're actually going to fight again. So I'm not quite so sure for this one. If they're setting up another one, would you really want the same result again? So I'm not sure on this. We're not sure where it's going. But there's definitely some life in this rivalry right now. All right, match two was Max Morrison versus Ethan Cross. And as you didn't even remember Max Morrison was in this match when I mentioned it to you, I'm going to guess you don't remember anything about this one either.
No, I thought it was Timmy Danger, wasn't it?
That's coming up. Max now, I have to say, when we originally wanted to record this, probably like 2 or 3 days after the event, which would have been sensible, I could go through the match because it was 6 matches. And in my head, I could remember match 1, match 3, 4, 5, 6. And I couldn't remember what match 2 was at that point. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go back and look to see what it is because I didn't write it down. So, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I am really struggling for this one. The only thing I do remember, because what I told you at the time, is Ethan Cross sells better than anyone I know. Like, he really puts the other person over. Like, one of the flips he got, he put in, like, an extra jump in there, or the extra bumps that he takes to make the other person look really good. And as soon as I told you that, Max Morrison did exactly the same. Like, Ethan Cross was getting beat up pretty badly in this one. And then Ethan kind of reversed it. He started getting some moves in, and Max did the same thing. And that was the thing I remember most about this match was how committed the other person was to making the other wrestler look good. And I think that's... And it's kind of a shame, then, having said that, how good they did a job of that, that we don't actually remember any specifics for this match. I'm going to call Max Morrison for the win, though, even though I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember one of the matches. I was just like...
Well, we're going to do all of them, so when we get to that match, no, how about you say, to
save
it for then?
I don't remember which one, but I was paying attention to the match, doing, like, my type of wrestling, that how many points you get.
Uh-huh.
And the loser actually got more points than the winner. But if you take away the pin, then the loser actually got more points.
Okay, well, that happened in one of these 6 matches, but we're not sure which. Alright, match 3 was Timmy Danger versus Triple Fears Kevin Mears, and the stipulation was that the sanctuary had to be ringside. That was a weird stipulation. I think that was from was it KJ Superstar, whatever his name is? KR Superstar? He made that rule, because obviously he doesn't like Triple Fears Kevin Mears. I'm trying to remember, is this the Commonwealth title? I think that's what it is. I don't think it's Cruiserweight. I think it's Commonwealth title, with it being Commonwealth of Virginia. Alright, anything you remember from this one?
I remember Kevin Mears did a cool flip.
Mm-hmm.
And Timmy Danger did a couple punches and a couple chops and a couple kicks and a couple clotheslines.
So you're just throwing generic stuff in there.
And he ran and he walked. And he
All right. Well, obviously, Kevin Mears was dominating Timmy Danger, so obviously the Sanctuary got involved, even though they weren't supposed to. What I'm trying to remember is, were they sent to the back in the match? I don't think they were. I know that, or did they go out and then they came back again?
Didn't they hit Kevin Mears with the trash can?
they did a lot of things. Now, I'm looking at my pictures here. I got a lot of pictures of Kevin Mears lying on the floor with Timmy Danger standing over him. And I've also got ones with the Sanctuary in the ring with them. And the ref's just kind of watching them. Now, it was kind of a weird stipulation. Like, if you're allowed to be ringside, then obviously they're going to interfere. But it wasn't a handicap match. I don't know. It was kind of strange. Like, I don't quite know where they were actually going with that. And I do remember one other thing at this point. I looked at my watch and I was like, oh my gosh, it's like 55 minutes already. I'm like, this is probably going to be the last match before the intermission. Because they normally run like tight 2 hour shows. You've got the like an hour, 15 minute intermission, hour show. Probably a little bit longer on some of those. But basically 2.5 hours and you're basically going to be done. And yeah, that was pretty much it. And it led into intermission. Now, intermission time, we went back to the car for something. I can't remember what. Jackson wanted a snack cookies. Or something he had in the car. Oh, they had the food van out there, but the line was really long. And I was like, I don't really want a burger because we'd already had fast food. So I was like, let's just go and grab something from the car. And then when we came back, the thing I love about UEW is they had a ton of wrestlers just out there. Just out there where you could like, hey, can I get a picture with you? Is that okay? And yeah, we found a few. We saw Rock Richards.
Yeah.
We got Jordan Blade. Because we nearly missed her again. We saw she was talking to somebody, and then we kind of went somewhere else, and we came back, and she was just leaving. Anyway, the person who was at her table said, hey, Jordan, and got her back. So we finally got a picture with Jordan, and we got her autograph. We also were told that there was, when we last saw Triple Fear's Kevin Mears at the first UEW event, he didn't have any 8x10s. And we noticed that at one of his signing events, he was signing pictures. So we're like, hey, can you save us one of those, please? And anyway, we went to his table. We got it, but it was unsigned. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's out there somewhere. So basically with Jackson, we played a go find Kevin Mears. He's somewhere within. And there was a lot of people, like we said. There was over 100 people that were standing. So anyway, we did. We found him. We got that picture. We also saw Ethan Cross had a... Also had a merch table, which I've not seen before as well. And do you want to talk about the picture a little bit?
So he was a police officer, and he was holding back Charlotte Flair.
He was. So we were like, whoa. Now, he was kind of busy. He was talking to some friends by the look of it to begin with. So we kind of waited at his table, and then he saw us, and he came over. And we got a quick picture with him. But yeah, I would like to ask him more about that. That's a really interesting story. I am told that's what happened before WrestleMania last year. Yes. So I remember the whole thing when Becky got arrested and things like that. That was that storyline. So I was like, oh. But I would still like to know more about that, how it came about, and perhaps some other things. So we definitely want to try and talk to Ethan a little bit more in the future if we could.
Got like real police officers.
No, everything's pretty much staged. No, I'm sure they do have some real police officers, but not for those segments.
No, I thought they like picked like local police officers.
Oh, no. No, because they're doing their real job. Oh. And I'm sure you're not allowed to dress up as a cop if you're not actually officially working in that role. So, no, they're all actors. But, no, that's kind of cool, though. I thought that was really interesting. Because you talked about that thing we talked about on his podcast, where the fact that he said his goal was he wants to make it to the WWE. And you were like, he did. There's that picture. So that's something we definitely want to find out more about. I'm trying to think if we saw anybody else while we were walking around. I don't think so. I think it was some people who we'd already got pictures with. I know we saw Sledge Gibson walking around, and I think I saw Leo Kirby walking around as well, and yeah, anyway, so that was the end of the intermission after about 15 minutes or so, and we didn't interview Wes at that point because he was selling merch, so we're like, we'll catch you later. We're like, that works perfectly, okay. And then the first match back after the intermission was the Women's Championship, and yeah, Erica Lee wasn't there, and it was like, oh, I guess she was injured, or I guess the fact that beatdown was injured, or that's the story they're telling. So yeah, we hadn't really realized. And anything about this match? I'm going to say, with it being a month ago, I'm looking at a couple of pictures, and I remember a few general feelings, but I don't really remember many specifics.
I remember Jordan Blade got an ankle lock.
Mm-hmm. The ankle breaker.
Yeah, and... Yeah, that's it.
The thing I remember more than anything is, I said it was the most over I've seen a crowd for one person. The chants for Jordan, Jordan. The crowd were very pro-Jordan. Obviously, she was the face for this one as well. But Jordan's obviously very popular as well. And I thought that worked perfectly, putting the face up against the heel. I thought it was a very strong match. I thought it was very entertaining. The crowd were really into it. And yeah, Jordan took the win. And I'm trying to remember other specifics. I know I filmed the end of this match as well, but I don't think I can see the video here. I think I just took the picture. Yeah, I know at one point I took a little video clip, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, here we go, Mason. Hey, do you want to come and look?
Yes. I was right.
All right, so I found the 50-second clip that I actually recorded. So, all right, Mason, as you got your memory refreshed now, all right, talk us through the finish.
I was right. Jordan did get an ankle breaker, and Ariella tapped out, and then Erica Lee came out, and then she raised Jordan's hand and attacked her.
She raised her hand, and it all seemed perfectly legit to begin with, and she's, like, pointing at her, and she turns her around so all the crowd can celebrate. And then we didn't get this part on the video, but that was the part I remembered, that, yeah, Erica turned heel as well, took her out, and, yeah, so I don't know. It was kind of a few confusing things there. Like, if it had been a regular old match, like, why would Ariella attack Erica if she knew that she was going to be... Well, I guess if she was injured, she couldn't physically wrestle. Or she couldn't wrestle a whole match, but she could do a spot, I guess. I guess it sets up a good rivalry for the future. If that had been a triple threat and had been two heels, I don't think Jordan would have won that one.
Yeah.
So that would have been a very different dynamic. So I'm not sure if they've announced the next match, actually, for that series. I know they also have... Oh, that was the other thing. They also announced, since we last recorded this, there's an event in Tampa as well, as part of WrestleMania weekend. And I think Wes talked about that on our interview as well. And I think they have the date announced, and I think that's all they've got announced so far. So I don't think they've announced any of their matches. So perhaps that might decide what happens on, I want to say April 25th, something like that. Originally, it was supposed to be like April 18th, and then they moved that date to April 25th a week later. All right, match five was, I don't know what it was called. Was it the Richmond Street Fight? It was Leo Kirkby and Eddie Diamond, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, what you got for this one?
Leo win?
I honestly don't remember who won this one, actually. All I do remember is the clip that I've got with Leo Kirkby having the trash can over his head. And Eddie Diamond coming in with, like, the sticks,
yeah,
and then hitting him with it. The thing I do remember is it was very violent. Like, they went all round the ring on the outside. They did have barricades there. They were throwing each other into barricades. They were hitting each other with weapons. Fans from all sides got to see stuff. I thought this would be the one that Jackson would be kind of really into. And I think he was still running around at that point. I think he kind of left and then kind of came back a little bit. And... the thing I do remember, like I said, I have vague memories of this one. I don't remember specifics. I remember really enjoying this match, though. I was like, these guys are putting on a heck of a show. Like, they're putting their bodies on the line here, and they had swings and roundabouts in this one. Yeah, they had lots of different weapons in there. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I thought it was a really good one.
And I remember I was the only one cheering for Leo.
Yeah, I don't mind cheering for Leo as well. I like Leo as well. So it wasn't clear on this one who's a face. I don't think, I wouldn't say Eddie Diamond is normally a face particularly. But yeah, it certainly wasn't obvious for this one. All right, main event time then. So this was Triple Threat. This was Sledge Gibson versus Damian Wayne versus Rock Richards. I guess it must have been Rock Richards because he hasn't featured yet, right? I guess by process of elimination, it must be that one. All right, what do you remember on this one then, Mason?
Mm-hmm.
The finish? I remember we went to the bathroom at this point.
We did?
No, I did. I did because I was like, you guys went to intermission time. And then I was like, I'm going to go now because it's as soon as this is done, we want to be able to get the interview. I don't want to miss that part. And as I went through, I was kind of pushing the door open to try and watch the match. And then the door kept closing, pushing it open because somebody was actually in the bathroom. And Ariella Nix actually wanted to use the restroom as well at that point. So she's like, is this the line? I was like, yeah. So she went away and came back, and yeah, but then I came back to you guys. So I missed the start of this match, actually, but I certainly saw the main part and the end of this match. All right, that should have bought you enough time to come up with some gems of wisdom, right?
Damian Wayne won.
Damian Wayne won how?
A pin.
Jeez. All right, the part I remember more than anything on this one was it started off as a traditional triple threat. Like, they take it in turns. Like, there's two in the ring, there's one on the outside, and they keep switching it.
Oh.
There was lots of false finishes as well. Oh, he's remembered. Has he remembered something?
I think there was a triple chop. Like, one would chop one, and then one would chop the other. And then it just kept going
around in a circle. Now, the thing that should have happened in this one is Sledge potentially had an 8 count. But unfortunately, the ref got took out moments before. So the ref's on the floor and the crowd's chanting along. One, 2. Now, this actually got released on Sledge Gibson's Facebook page the other day, so I rewatched this part. He showed you the highlights of it, and there was at least an 8 count, but then at that point he got up because nobody was there. And this is when actually there was interference run. So actually, while the ref didn't know what was coming on, Max Morrison came into the ring as well. And this is part of their new faction. So there's a group of 3 people. They all beat down on Sledge. Sledge got the pin. Sledge got pinned, and then the others kind of got out of the way. And it shows you the picture of them actually towering over him at the end. And that's one picture I got here. You can see the ref die. Oh, they dragged the ref over, basically put him on Sledge, and he was just able. He couldn't really tell what was going on, but it was enough to do a 1, 2, a very slow 3 count, and that was the end of the result. And that's the picture we got from where I am. Sledge is face down, the ref is pretty much face down, but just about able to make the pin, and the 3 of them all standing over each other. Now, I can't remember the name of the faction because it's been nearly a month ago. I actually really like this. As much as I like Sledge Gibson, I was really hoping he would be champion. There's not many organizations that have sort of that super faction like that. Like, I know Timmy Danger obviously has the Sanctuary as well, but I kind of like that. 3 strong guys like Damian Wayne, Rock Richards, and Max Morrison all together. That's going to be tough to knock them off their perch. I don't know who Sledge... Like, if Sledge suddenly decides, hey, I'm not happy with this, I'm going to get even with you, which 2 people is he picking that's going to be a match for those 3 together? And I don't know the answer to that right now. So I kind of like it for that reason alone. I would hope if Sledge gets a rematch, it would just be a 1-on-1 and the other 2 are not allowed in the ring, but we will have to see.
It reminds me of The Shield.
Yeah, they're certainly a very strong faction, and I didn't see that coming at all. From all the other things that we saw, they were kind of like, I won't say nice fights as in they were being polite or anything, but it was like your standard traditional wrestling thing, and then suddenly that came out a bolt from the blue. I did not see that, because you would have thought 2-on-1 would have been enough, right? Triple threat?
Yeah.
2 of those members versus 1, that should have been enough to suddenly throw in the 3rd person, to get Max Morrison to come in and help as well. I did not see that coming at all, and I really like that finish. All right, after that, we caught up with Wes, and we went outside, we did our little interview. As it's been a few weeks ago, I think what we'll probably do is we'll probably add that interview again at the end of this episode to make it a little bit longer. And I think that pretty much does this one. With it finishing so early, I think it started at 6:30, something like that, finished by about 9 o'clock, somewhere around that time. I think Jackson actually made it home. I think normally he sort of falls asleep on the way home. And it was kind of so... I like that. I like the fact that it's not too late. Those ones that start at like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have a 2-hour drive afterwards. And it's like, ugh. It's just like, I enjoy going, but it can be really tiring. So that was kind of a cool thing as well.
Yeah, I think we only got back... We got back at like 10.
It wasn't that late at all. Yeah, we did pretty good out of it. It was a tight 2.5-hour show, which I really like. And I think the only information I've seen, I think I saw for April 25th, I think it said, certainly that tag team match I mentioned, I think Isaiah Frazier is going to be there as well, I think it said. So I'm like, that's great. We obviously like Isaiah Frazier. I think that'll be a good addition. And there was one more person they added to their roster as well. And there was another person where we're like, great. It's another person we really like to see. Can't remember who it is, but yeah, I really like the roster UEW is putting together. It's a lot of people that we like to see, kind of our favorites. So I think that's good. All right, anything else, Mason?
Nope. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, our 2-year anniversary, and we have a special guest on the podcast, Wes Rogers.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Glad to be here and live on location for UEW's Boiling Point, and happy 2-year anniversary to you guys.
We think this is coming out on Friday. This is 5 days before, and we're not sure if we're going to be doing a review. This might be it.
All right.
You might be the star of the show. I'm sure we'll talk about your match at some point, but yeah, I don't even know if we've got time to do a review. Anyway, go ahead, Mason. Let's get this started.
So, you used to have the name West Danger Rogers, right?
Still do.
Uh,
Why do you have danger in your name if you promote safety?
Well, you know, I have to bring them in, catch their attention, and I thought that something flashy like danger might catch their attention, and then I sneak the safety in when they're not paying attention.
Have you or Livid ever got an injury?
Yes. Livid broke his foot once on a cannonball to the floor, and I got my nose broken once by a super kick square to the face. And that one required a doctor's visit and a nose reset, which I cannot recommend.
Ouch. What were your favorite safety moments?
Of wrestling or of my lifetime?
You can do both or whatever.
Probably getting my first bicycle helmet was my favorite safety moment of my lifetime. In wrestling, it's got to be just spreading the good word of safety. That's what really does it for me.
Where did you get your safety gimmick?
I used to work at a shipyard, as is one of the most dangerous places to work, and safety was a big part of that. Every day, safety briefing, safety booklets, safety photos. Here's another safety movie you have to watch. And I decided that I would just bring that to wrestling to keep myself and more or less my opponent safe as well, too.
I was going to say, I'm a teacher and you're a student, so I'm sure you have to do those drills pretty regularly as well. So it's something we're all used to doing, staying safe, right?
That's right. Practice, practice, practice makes good habits. Stay
safe. What was one of your most favorite match?
Oh, I would have to say when Livid and I got to team up with Swoggle was an awesome, awesome moment for me.
Every match of his is the best.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And I would actually have to say working the Gymnasty Boys was a genuine pleasure and something we look forward to doing very, very soon again.
All right, you might have another question, but I want to jump in since you just mentioned Gymnasty Boys. I was watching Freelance Wrestling last night.
Yes, I watched it too.
They had an event, Send in the Clowns, and I didn't see Livid at all. What happened?
Just a terrible casting error there, I believe. They really, really dropped the ball there. But yeah, it's good to see Gymnasty there fighting for the belts and excellent retention from Space Pirates, by the way.
Yep.
Shane Saber's a friend of mine, so hopefully we'll be able to maybe get him here and see if we can't do battle sometime.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool.
What were your thoughts on your match?
Well, I mean, this is a big one for us, our first title defense here at UEW. Capital Vices, again, you know, one of the most prolific tag teams up and down the East Coast. Sin is a big, big boy, and Money is just absolutely a madman in there. So we came in with our usual game plan of safety, and my partner brought a little bit of the ish.
I am the ish.
And, we just executed our game plan as well as we could. I did get punched in the face, which I might try to avoid next time. But all in all, pretty solid defense for us.
You got a cliffhanger.
No. But a quality win for Safish today over Capital Vices. Look forward to our next opponents here at UEW. Never know what they got coming for us, but we'll be ready for it in the safest way possible.
The safe-ish way.
Yeah.
Ish.
Hey, Jay, I forgot you, buddy. Do you have a question?
What's your favorite store?
My favorite store, I like Foot Locker. I'm a big shoe guy, so I'm collecting. I like Air Force Ones and Adidas, so always out shopping for shoes.
You didn't change your question. You kept what you kept. Yes, John Kerman at Crab Wrestling as well. So
another one of my favorite stores is Granger Safety and Supply. Spent a lot of time there. That's where I get my goggles from.
All right. So when I first talked to you, it was actually almost a year ago. We're at Capital Wrestling in New Jersey. I was like, oh, there's Wes.
For Mania Weekend.
Mania Weekend. All right. So as we're in February right now, I know it's a little further this year. Any plans for WrestleMania Weekend?
Yes. Tampa is going to be huge for us. I cannot reveal anything at this point. But maybe in a week or two, be able to give you a little sneak peek right to the podcast.
Okay. So I think UEW has an event down there. Is that right?
They do. They do. Yep. UEW, we're actually trying to spread the word of safety while we're down there. Maybe find a new promotion or two that needs a little bit of help in the safety department.
Now, we haven't made it there yet, but I know you wrestle in Altoona. I can't remember the name of the organization. We like to go to Altoona because they have a Primanti Brothers. I don't know if that's our nearest one, but it's about 3 hours away. So, what can you tell us about that organization? Are you guys still champs there?
That would be Eclipse Wrestling, and no, actually, we had an issue with a referee and a funny three count during a ladder match. It's taken us some time to recover from that, but we're looking forward to getting back to Eclipse real, real soon.
So who are some of the stars that we might recognize who also wrestle at that at Eclipse?
Well, you would absolutely recognize Eclipse's heavyweight champion, one Mad Max Morrison. Has been wrecking shop there. I recently saw him in a cage match there. Absolutely brutal. Of course, Simply Safish in the house from time to time. Some other people you might have seen before. Sahara 7, Born to Wrestle. It's a pretty awesome locker room.
Now, I think it was the last Nova Pro event. We saw you there as well. But we actually thought it was a tag team match. You actually wrestling Livid.
Yes. Yes. We got a special chance to be the exhibition for Nova's final show. And, yeah, and a little twist of fate there. Wes Rogers versus Livid the Clown in a weird, weird wrestling match.
Have you guys wrestled each other before?
We have, actually, a couple times. And we train a lot together, too. So we end up wrestling at the school frequently to try to sharpen our game. It's a full-time job, though, trying to corral a clown. It's next to impossible.
Now, I haven't watched the video yet, but I saw VCW put it up. We tried to get down last weekend. We couldn't make it. So we were going to have split loyalties anyway. Golden Pinky Society, Simply Safish. Benjamin Banks, we know, has broken his pinky.
Yes.
We don't know anything more than headlines right now. What can you tell us about last weekend?
So, starting from the beginning, we noticed something was going a little shady when Colonel Robert Parker was kind of lurking around the locker room. And he offered to manage the pinkies, which actually turned out to be a dirty trick. His tag team, the Dirty Blondes, came down, broke the golden pinky of Benjamin Banks, and then demanded a title shot. And we're fighting champions, so of course we were not going to turn down a challenge like that. And I hate to admit it here live, but we lost the belts, and it's all Colonel Parker's fault. We had him beat, and a little bit of interference, and cost us everything.
Now, I don't know. I know all the different organizations have different rules. Do you automatically get a rematch?
Yes, we do have our rematch clause. We're gonna go back at the drawing board a little bit for these guys. They're both huge, huge, massive dudes. It's gonna take a little bit of brainstorming to find the W there.
Is this now? There's so many different wrestling organizations going on. My calendar's a little out. Is this next event then at Hampton High School, I think it is?
Yes, March 14th for VCW is in Hampton High School. Be a good one. I am not sure, actually, if I will be there. But a lot of things happening. Phil Brown and Timmy Danger, lumberjack match. Finally going to be able to square that, keep the sanctuary at bay, give Phil a fair chance. Lots of exciting things happening in Hampton, and we'll be letting you know if we'll be making an appearance.
And I'm kind of surprised I forgot, because as a math teacher, it's Pi Day, 314. I don't know how I forgot about that
one. Yes, the best holiday for math teachers.
And I think I saw that Jordan Oliver's going to be there as well. So
I
think he said he actually won a title when he was there for the
I believe he. I do believe he is the champion now. So lots of exciting action at VCW. Have to catch up there. It was a wild, wild night, and for us, unfortunately, just was not able to get away with the retention of the titles.
All right, what else have you got to promote? What other events have you got? Where else can we see you around the state and perhaps in neighboring states?
We are all over the place the next few weeks here. I am down in Carolina next weekend, which would be the 15th. 22nd, you can check me out at the National Wrestling League in West Virginia. Oh man, we're getting into March then, so we got some travel away from this area. And then, of course, WrestleMania weekend, be in Tampa, you won't be able to miss us there.
I had one more and I forgot. I was just thinking I had the scoop ball. I was like, what's that? Oh, shoot. I totally forgot about that one. I was going to get you to do that one, but I can do it. All right, so this might actually be the last podcast for a while. As we put out on Twitter, Mason is now part of the middle school wrestling team. So he's training 5 days a week. He gets back super late. He's also part of a baseball travel team.
Sheesh.
So and between everything else, even just making events is probably going to start going down a little bit. So that was going to be one of the questions. Well, I don't think we've ever thought about this before. Did you wrestle when you were in school yourself?
No, I did not, actually. In high school, I played 2 seasons of football and decided that I was a little too skinny for that, so went directly into swimming and cross country, which was much more up my alley.
So we can't ask for any wrestling tips. However, I believe one of the things is flexibility. Isn't that one of the important ones?
Yes.
And it sounds like both of those sports would be good.
Absolutely. I tell everybody that stretching is an important tenet of safety before and after strenuous physical activity. And, it never hurts when you're feeling a little tight to sneak a stretch in as well.
All right, I think that does. Thank you so much, Wes. We really appreciate your time.
An absolute pleasure being here, and stay tuned for what's coming up next.
You signing out, Jay? You like to say bye at the end, right? You like to scream bye as loud as you can.
Bye!